Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We have a special co-host today from the Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen, who is joining us to celebrate show number 500 for Minnesota Military Radio. And General, I can't believe it. We've made it 9.5 years. It's the 500th time we put a show together, and you've been on quite a few.
Well, I haven't been on 500 times like you, Tom, but what a great accomplishment. I'm so proud of the show. I'm so proud of everything that that you've done here, and what a great location we're at today at the National Guard Association United States headquarters right here in Washington, D.C. Beautiful building, and it's just a privilege to continue supporting you in this great effort, Tom.
Well, and sir, we had an opportunity to do a couple of recordings, and we are in the nation's capital, and we have another special guest. His name is retired Brigadier General Roy Robinson, and General Robinson is the National Guard Association of the United States President. He's responsible for the association's day-to-day operations in Washington, D.C., with a staff of 28 employees. He also oversees the National Guard Educational Foundation, which maintains the National Guard Memorial Museum, and the National Guard Association Insurance Trust. General Robinson, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning.
Sir, thanks for hosting us today. This is a beautiful building, and there's a museum downstairs. And can you tell us now, how long did you serve in the military?
Actually, I spent 33 years. I am a lifelong guardsman. I spent all 33 years in the Mississippi National Guard. And just about every status that you can hold, I started off as a traditional guardsman. Then I was a state employee for a while. Then I was a federal technician for a while. And then I was an AGR, an active guard reserve guardsman, for several years. And then I reverted back to traditional when I took on a senior leadership position. And I also ran the National Guard Association of Mississippi. And I did that for about 8 years prior to coming to D.C.
And how long have you been here, sir?
Been here for 3 years.
3 years as the president of the National Guard Association.
I have.
Now, General, I'm a little confused on this yet, and I think some of our listeners are. There's the National Guard Bureau, and then there's the National Guard Association of the United States. Can you tell us, how do you work together? How are you different?
Very easily. The National Guard Bureau is a completely federal Title X institution, and it was designed to be the communications conduit between the services, the Army and the Air Force, and the 54 states, territories, and the District of Columbia. The association is much different. We actually represent the 54 states, territories, and the District of Columbia. And we try to represent the needs and of the states as we interact with the members of Congress on the Hill, on National Guard legislation, and also just military legislation across the board. You know, the second part that we do a lot of is interacting with the senior leadership of both the Air Force and the Army. And ours is a different relationship because we're not Title X. We're a private, nonprofit institution. We're not encumbered by a federal status. And we can have frank and open discussions with the senior leaders of both the Army and the Air Force. And also frank and open discussions with the members of Congress, obviously both on the House and Senate side, and with the professional staff on the committees as well.
So, General, what I'm hearing is that since you're retired and no longer in the military, you're a civilian like I am, and you're not part of the military establishment, so you're free to speak your mind and do the things that perhaps you couldn't do while you were still a Brigadier General.
So I think the way that we try to say it is that we're not encumbered by status, and we can have conversations and give opinions without worry about saying something that we shouldn't say, or we're limited by the position that we hold. We're simply the representative of the 54 states, territories, and the district, and the 450,000 members of the National Guard, both in the Air National Guard and the Army National Guard across the United States.
We're speaking with the retired Brigadier General Roy Robinson and, of course, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen, on show number 500 from Washington, D.C. And, General Jensen, when you're doing official duties and you report up through the Guard Bureau, that's one thing. But then you get out here quite often, and you come over and visit the association, too. But there's kind of a delineation, a little separation of what you do there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a proud member of the National Guard Association of the United States. I've been a member my entire career. And so I have found personally it's very important to be a member of this association because of some of the great things that they've done on behalf of not only our currently serving National Guardsmen, but our retired. And that's kind of, Roy, the question I want to ask you. You know, lifelong Guardsmen in Mississippi, you know, you've seen the shift of the Guard from a strategic reserve to an operational reserve. You understand the employment of the Guard, the high op tempo. Maybe you can identify some of the key legislative victories we've had that Naugus has helped achieve to ensure that our soldiers get everything that they deserve as they've shifted into this operational reserve.
So I have to believe that Naugus was a big part of the current environment that we have. We like to refer to it as concurrent and proportional fielding. So if you're in the Air Force or you're in the Army or you're in the Air National Guard or the Army National Guard, it shouldn't matter if you're in the Guard or if you're in the active force. If you're called and sent to do a task or go into combat or defend the country, you should have access to the latest and greatest technology and equipment. If you look back at the history, that hasn't always been the case. So Naugus, this organization, which that's actually the reason that it was founded, to make sure that we have equipping parity between the components. If General Jensen actually sends one of his brigades or large formations, if he sends them into combat, he, like all the other senior leaders in the Guard, feel a responsibility to make sure that they go downrange with the best equipment that can be bought and provided by the Congress. So the function of Naugus, what we do is we go over to the Hill, and we make sure that Congress understands where those shortfalls are, where maybe there's some equipping issues out there between the active component and the Guard. And we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that we close all those gaps. We're in a completely different world today. I don't know that early in my career that I could have ever envisioned F-35s, the latest, greatest fighter, going to the National Guard in its initial fielding. I don't know that I could have ever envisioned heavy brigades with the M1 A4 coming online. We don't have that in the Guard. They're fixed to have an active component, but we're working towards continuing to increase the technology in our heavy forces.
No, and Roy, so I think here's an important piece, you know, as we talk about Naugus and we talk about what Naugus does for our members. If I was a young second lieutenant and I looked across the table at you today and said, why should I join Naugus? You know, what would be the couple things that you would tell that second lieutenant on why they should be a member?
Man, it's funny that you asked that. I literally was a second lieutenant. I was a young infantry officer. And I was on a range at Fort Benning, Georgia, when the Mississippi Army National Guard received our brand-new Bradley fighting vehicles and M1 tanks in 1984. And I talk to company grade officers all the time. In my career, the receipt of that technology was a generational change in the National Guard. Today, the young officers that are coming into our formations, they are literally going through a very similar generational change. They're going to see the newest, most advanced weapon systems that will be fielded and part of our formations on the front end of the technology as opposed to the back end of the technology being developed. And you know, and I say it all the time, you know, our young officers need to be aware of that. Because not everybody, not every generation gets the opportunity to see generational changes in the equipment that we have within our formations. They're going to see that.
Yeah.
If you'd have asked me as a lieutenant or a captain years ago if there's any way that we'd ever had an opportunity to have full-time medical care, like TRICARE Reserve Select, to cover our entire formation for those that want to participate, I wouldn't have believed it. Well, without Naugus, it wouldn't have happened, but today that's available.
General, we've only got a couple minutes left, but what we haven't touched on too much is that you have the ability to have some influence on legislative over on Capitol Hill. Could you explain that to us quickly?
Absolutely. We have a legislative staff. We have a full-time director. We have constant interaction with the professional staff of the committees that are related to military issues on the Hill, both on the House and Senate side. We interact with members from all states across the nation. That's the great thing about what we do. We don't get involved in other issues that are going on in Washington, D.C., but every member of Congress and every member of the Senate has National Guard forces in their state. And I don't know that I've ever walked into an office and had somebody tell me they're not a fan of the National Guard. So it's that constant personal interaction with members and their staff on National Guard and military issues, I think, that helps us continue to do that.
So, sir, what I'm hearing you say is you collect up a lot of information and data from all the states, and you're right here in the nation's capital, and you have the ability to have your people over on the Hill.
That's the proudest thing that I can say about the National Guard. We are – our issues and our priorities are driven by the 54 states, territories, and the District of Columbia. And they kind of tell us what it is that we need to go be working on the Hill. Absolutely.
General Robinson, I can see why you're smiling, because you have an opportunity to have an impact, don't you?
Absolutely, we do.
Sir, I'd like to thank you very much for hosting us today and for taking a few minutes out to speak with General Jensen and I, especially on the opportunity to celebrate our 500th show, sir.
500 shows, yeah, Tom. Amazing.
We'll keep going and hope to be back here sometime soon. General Robinson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Roy. Really appreciate it.
Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to have another guest from Washington, D.C., along with my co-host, Major General John Jensen. And here's a message from former Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash.
First of all, I want to congratulate Tom and the entire Minnesota Military Radio team on reaching 500 shows. That is a truly significant accomplishment. From being on a program on just one station at iHeart 9 years ago, to being on 57 stations around Minnesota is something outstanding that I don't think anyone anticipated. I remember beginning my time as the Adjutant General of Minnesota when we recorded the first Generally Speaking segment. That episode aired during my first week on the job. It is great to see that my successor, Major General John Jensen, has kept up the tradition. Minnesota Military Radio is something very unique. It brings together the voices of not just those who serve the state currently, but the veterans who reside here. On any given episode of Minnesota Military Radio, they can find out information about resources that help our servicemen, women, their families, and our employers. This program is just another example of how Minnesota continues to lead the way in its development of strong service members and a strong community around them. I want to give a special recognition to the K-Check radio station in New Prague and to its general manager, Tom Getzinger, for being an early participant in carrying this valuable program and for their 50th anniversary being on the air, pleasing ears for 50 years. I am proud to have been part of what I hope will be a long-standing tradition, that is, Minnesota Military Radio and the Generally Speaking segment. Congratulations again, Tom, and here's to another 500 episodes.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're on the road in the nation's capital with my very special co-host, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And, sir, we're over here at the Guard Association offices, and we had a nice interview with the president, retired Brigadier General Roy Robinson, and now we're going to the other side from the association to the Guard Bureau, and we have a guest joining us. It's Lieutenant General Daniel Hokanson, who is the Director, Army National Guard. He guides the formation, development, and implementation of all programs and policies affecting the Army National Guard, a force of nearly 350,000 soldiers in the 50 states, 3 territories, and District of Columbia. General Hokanson, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom, great to be here, and congratulations on your 500th show. That's quite an accomplishment, and I would tell you from the nation's capital, we appreciate what you folks are doing for us every single day.
Well, thank you, sir. We've been working closely with the Adjutant General to tell the stories of the military in Minnesota and the veterans and their families, and appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your busy day to join us. I understand you've got kind of a strong Minnesota connection.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like home on the radio for me here. both of my parents were born and raised in Morris, Minnesota. In fact, my grandfather served in the Minnesota National Guard I think through all the enlisted ranks up to E9, and then retired as a first lieutenant. And my my father also served in the Minnesota Guard. And my uncle Steve, who recently passed away, was a Vietnam veteran and also lived in Minnesota. So great connections, and I love spending my summers there when I was growing up.
Well, sir, one of our network affiliates, so almost 60 radio stations, is KXRA in Alexandria.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I remember being, throughout my time growing up, my grandfather, Walter Slim Hokanson, would listen to them every single day, and I'm sure he may have caught a couple of your shows when they first started. So that's another great connection.
Well, we certainly hope so, sir. General, we wanted to ask you, we've been covering the operations tempo of the National Guard, of course, in Minnesota, but there's a lot of deployments, and there's warfighters in the National Training Center, and I wonder, how is that impacting recruiting and retention around the nation?
You know, so Tom, that's a great question, and as John is extremely familiar with this, when we look at our National Guard force, particularly from states like Minnesota, and having previously been the Adjutant General for Oregon, you know, those are two of the states that have no active duty bases. And so when units mobilize from our communities, it really has a huge impact across the state. And so when we look at our operational tempo, because we're a traditionally part-time force, we really try and find that balance between their civilian career, their military career, and also their family. And we know at times we're going to have to lean on one or the other, but what we work at the national level is working with Adjutant General like John Jensen to help find that operational tempo that we don't have to make our soldiers choose one of the three. And so one of the things that we found, particularly with our armor units, was that they were rotating every, it was a 1-4, so every 4 years they were going somewhere. And so we've worked really hard at the national level to get to about a 1-5, so once every 5 years, because we think that's sustainable, and that's what our soldiers are telling us, not only with their civilian career and their families, but also with their employers, because we could not do what we do without the great support from all these employers.
General, when I got back from Vietnam almost 50 years ago, I got off active duty and joined the Minnesota Air National Guard. But in those days, it was 2 weeks in the summer and then one weekend during the month, the rest of the year. And it seems like since September 11th, 2001, the National Guard across the nation has a bigger seat at the table, and they're being leaned on to help out big Army more and more.
Absolutely, Tom. And what we found is, you know, when you look over the past 18 years, our nation could not have done what we did without the service of our guardsmen. And when you look at the dedication and the number of folks that have actually entered since 9/11, which is almost all of our force now, they knew what they were getting into. And their ability to stand up and serve their country, and then when they come home, continue to serve their community is so admirable. I mean, I'm just very fortunate to continue to be part of this organization. And, you know, when we go back to the 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks of the year, I haven't found that soldier that has done that since 9/11. And to their credit, they always stand up and do exactly what their nation asks of them. And that, like I said, it's just admirable service across the board.
Sir, Major General Jensen here. Back in October, sir, when we were at the Association of United States Army's annual meeting, one of the things that you put out to the adjutant generals is your vision as it relates to the Army Guard reorganizing and realigning underneath our National Guard divisions. And, you know, as you know, Minnesota's the proud home of the 34th Infantry Division. So maybe you could talk a little bit of your vision and the realignment under our Army Guard divisions.
Hey, thank you, John, and great question. And, you know, just a 30-second brief history. If you go back to World War One, when the nation mobilized our National Guard, they mobilized regionally around the country into 17 divisions, and all 17 actually deployed to World War One, although some got there a little bit late. And then you fast forward to World War Two, where we had 19 divisions. 9 served in the European theater, the 34th, one of those, and then the other 10 served in the Pacific theater. And in the years since World War II, we've kind of gotten away from the divisions and we went to smaller units. And really over the last 18 years, we've fought really at the brigade and the battalion level. But with our new national defense strategy, when we look at potential large-scale combat operations against, you know, near-peer competitors, what we realized is we really have to go back to the division structure. And although we had eight division headquarters, the 34th in Minnesota being one of those eight, it was really just a headquarters. But what we realized is within the National Guard, we have all the downtrace units to actually create eight full divisions, with a couple of minor exceptions, which we're addressing now. But the key there was, is now if our nation calls and says we need an entire division, we can actually align all the lower structures with the 34th, so the 34th could actually deploy as a division like they did in World War II. And so we think this gives a great deterrent value for our nation against other countries around the globe. But then it makes us even that much better because it allows our officers to not only train at a higher level, but it also allows us to manage our talent better, to where if there's someone, in this case, say from Wisconsin or one of the Dakotas, that has great potential, they could have the opportunity to serve in the 34th and vice versa. And so we see a lot of great potential going forward, not only just for talent management, but also to create a deterrent force for our nation.
We're speaking with Lieutenant General Daniel Hokanson, who's Director of Army National Guard, on Minnesota Military Radio, and we're out here in the nation's capital with my co-host, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Sir?
Yeah, hey, sir, I think it would be really important if you could just kind of describe your role as the Director of the Army Guard and how that role supports our state National Guard, your connection at the federal level, and those things that are primarily your purview as the director.
And John, thanks for that question. When I look at Minnesota, like one of the 54 states, territories in the District of Columbia, we rely really heavily on the Adjutant General as really the person to talk to say, hey, look, here's some issues I need help with. And so having been the Adjutant General from Oregon, I had some of that experience, and I really tried to bring that here with me to really advocate to make our state successful, because each state and territory in the District of Columbia is unique from the others. And so you can't really make a blanket policy or blanket statement. But what we do is we take that feedback from the states and do everything we can at the national level to resource the programs that make a difference, make sure that we have the readiness and resources there so that all of the units can meet the requirements, you know, whenever and wherever our nation needs them. And Tom and John, I mean, you know this well. Minnesota is one of our best examples. They lead in recruiting and retention across the entire 54. Units are always prepared, always ready whenever we need them. And so for me, it's a joy to work with states like Minnesota and the other 53 to advocate on their behalf and to get the resources and the policies to make them successful.
So I really appreciate that. Thanks, thanks for that shout out to Minnesota. And so, you know, we're here at the headquarters of the National Guard Association right now as well, and they certainly advocate on behalf of the National Guard, as you do as the director of the Army Guard. Just a quick view of the future. You see the Army Guard going to remain as an operational reserve force for the Army, or do you see us going back in the short term back into a more strategic role?
You know, John, when I look around the globe, I don't think we could ever afford to go back to that strategic role. When we look at any given day, we've got 20,000 Army Guardsmen alone deployed around the globe. And looking to the future and the competitors that are out there, that the Army actually, we have to modernize. And so as the Army prepares to modernize and then goes to the modernization process, the Guard will be heavily relied upon to fill any gaps and seams or deployment requirements as the Army modernizes. And so throughout that process, you know, here at the national level, I've got to be that channel of communications of the 54 states, territories, and the District of Columbia, and also make sure that all of our units are deployable, sustainable, and interoperable no matter where they go. And so I think as we've seen over the past 18 years, our nation has seen the value that the National Guard brings, and I think we will always stay in this position because they see the capabilities we bring every single day at a lower cost than our active counterparts.
Very good, sir. General Hokanson, we're out of time, but appreciate you taking the time to call in and talk to us from the Pentagon today, and we'd like to extend you an invitation. Anytime you come back home to Minnesota, let us know, and we'd love to have you on the show again.
Hey, Tom, would love to, and as my mom and dad called it, God's country, would love to come back there anytime. It's a beautiful state, a lot of wonderful people there I'd love to see again.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, Tom.
That was Lieutenant General Daniel Hokanson, the Director of the Army National Guard. Please stay with us when we come back. We'll talk more about our 500 show with my special co-host, Major General John Jensen. Now, here's a few comments from a recent event from our flagship radio station, iHeartMedia.
The Division President of iHeartMedia, please welcome Mr. Jeff Tyler.
Minnesota's the home of 370,000 veterans and tens of thousands of Guard and Reserve troops in action right now. Minnesota is a state that's supported and committed to the National Guard. When I came to Minnesota the first time, somebody told me that you've never seen anything like this. You know, the recruitment, the reenlistment, all the stuff that makes this state great is part of the National Guard here in Minnesota. It's so evident in the 5 years I've been here watching the people, watching the way things have been developed, watch the service. It's an amazing thing. And trust me when I tell you that iHeartMedia, you know, this is not about us or, you know, any that wouldn't do this should be ashamed of themselves. So we're proud, honored to allow that show to flourish and be part of the state.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We recently were at an event at Camp Ripley, and here's a message that we got from Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has been a great partner. Please welcome Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Since taking my role as commissioner in January, one of the things I've been trying to focus on is communications. I've had the privilege of sending a message every week through my commissioner's corner, and even if I'm not on that show, we get to get a message out. I think the Minnesota Military Radio provides an important communications channel to really tell our story and better serve the Minnesota veterans. We've been doing this, Tom, since 2010. 2010. And volunteer hosts that's been along with us. It's been a great collaboration with MDVA and the Minnesota National Guard and the Minneapolis VA to inform and entertain visitors. Their people are listening. There are, believe it or not, veterans out there that find that just don't know about all the services that are provided. I think between the federal VA and state services and so forth, our penetration is probably 60 to maybe 65%, but there's still a group of veterans out there that have not yet got the word. This program does an important job of doing that outreach. I get people come up to me and say, I heard your voice on whatever station it might be, and so I know that the word concerning veterans benefits is actually getting out there. Recently, we were asked by the governor to develop a strategic plan, and communications is such an important part of that, that one of our four strategic goals was to increase the veterans' awareness and participation in MDVA healthcare programs and services. And we're going to spend a lot of time there and energy to be able to get the word out to those veterans.
Joining me now is Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz, who is Minnesota's 41st governor. Governor Walz, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, it's great to be back with you, Tom, and it's great to be able to congratulate you on your 500th show. Your message resonates all across Minnesota. You take a lot of good stories and a lot of good information that gets out there. So it's a pleasure to be with you. It's a great way to start 2020 with your 500th show.
Well, thank you, Governor. I'm thinking back to when you were on with us, when you remember Congress, we had some great discussions starting with those three rules. And it seems to me you got kind of a kick out of no politics and no acronyms, and it's a family show. And you said, okay, what are we going to talk about now?
Well, I'll tell you what, in the area of veterans, you can sure adhere to those. We did it in D.C. I'm proud that they're continuing to. I'm sure you're following it, Tom, but the Survivor Benefit Plan, DIC offset, after 47 years, finally got fixed. They called me, and I carried that bill for 12 years, and those are the folks out there called. So those are the discussions we had. That's the work we did. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more nonpartisan than care for our warriors. And it still seems like even in a really tough space out in D.C., they're still doing it.
Governor, we just had Commissioner Herkey on, and we were talking about a couple of important priorities that you and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs are working on. And the first one was eliminate veterans homelessness in Minnesota.
Yeah, and we're a national model in this. We're getting really close. We've got about 253 of our sisters and brothers that are still out there. We all know that this is a pretty complex problem, but with all the services the VA can provide, we get folks off the street. We know if we can get them in permanent housing, their lives turn around so much, and we can get folks hired again, and you want to hire veterans. They're good workers, have shared values, and folks can get down on their luck. There can be some substance abuse issues. But here in Minnesota, we're not accepting that anybody's out there, and we're going to get this thing done.
And, Governor, we talked about the fact that another priority that you and the commissioner are working on is to try to eliminate veteran suicides.
Yeah, and everyone cares deeply about this, that we know the traumas that you go through, and these tragedies happen when you put folks in harm's way or in situations that aren't normal for folks to be in. And we know that too many of these folks who take their lives via suicide just simply didn't get in to get the help they needed. And we're having a much more coordinated kind of proactive upstream approach to this. I worked on that for many years in Congress, the Clay Hunt Suicide Prevention Act. We're seeing progress in this. We're seeing numbers come down. And while Minnesota isn't, at the same percentage as nationally, we still have too many. We'll see over 100 a year. And that's just that's not acceptable. We know what it takes to prevent this, and we're going to get this one, too. Minnesotans expect us to do that.
And, Governor, we're going to do everything we can on Minnesota Military Radio to help support that cause. And another issue that we talked about with the commissioner was we have three new veterans homes going to be coming online in the next couple of years, and that's really needed.
No, that's right. These things, and we're going through capital budget requests, today and these weeks leading up to January 15th. Of taking a look at how do we service those. And I got to tell you, the care that they get, I was just up in Fergus Falls here a few weeks back for the beer opener and stopped by and talked to some folks out there. I'll tell you what, that is a place of camaraderie, a place of joy, and a place of dignity. And that's what I want for everybody. So we'll monitor these things. And, it's expensive to go to war, and it's expensive to care for people when they come back, but that's an absolute requirement. And so we're going to get these things up and going. And we have to look at what that need looks like into the future.
Very good, sir. And I want to thank you very much for calling in to congratulate us on this milestone, show number 500.
Well, it is quite a milestone. I'm glad you're out there. You're doing great service. And wish you and all your listeners a happy new year.
Thank you, sir. That was Governor Tim Walz on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining us now is former Adjutant General and Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shalado, with some reflections on Minnesota Military Radio.
My background with Minnesota Military Radio goes back when I was Adjutant General for the state of Minnesota. And I get a visit with my public affairs people and a guy by the name of Tom Lyons, who wants to do a show out in the communities. And that kind of became the start. It was a win-win from the start. Probably the best reinforcement Tom got was when I traveled throughout the state of Minnesota. I was amazed at the number of people who listened to that show. It was Sunday morning early, and it seemed like every veteran in the state got up early, got their cup of coffee, and sat down and listened to Tom Lyons and the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. A veteran himself. He was just a tremendous, giving, caring person. And when we go to the tapings, as it matured, and we go over to iHeartRadio, and we go to the studio, and they put the headsets on, and it gets really more formal and set. He got everyone relaxed, and they were all nervous about how they could last a half hour or even an hour. And then all of a sudden, they look at their watch, and it's over. And it's just good information, good communication. And also, because when I left the TAG position, I was appointed as the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs for the state. And the retirees, they were a part of the listening audience also, but they too were getting information that they needed since they hung their uniform up, if you will. So it became a win-win for the entire state. It's a national model. And Tom, thank you for all that you've done and hopefully will continue to do, because you do and have make a difference.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. This is our 500th anniversary show, and we have a special message now from Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System.
Our affiliation with Tom, as he mentioned, dates back to 2014. And let me just tell you a little bit what it has meant to the Minneapolis VA and what I think to veterans throughout the state of Minnesota, our affiliation with Tom. So around the 2014 timeframe, we in the federal VA were going through some pretty dark times. You know, there was a lot of distrust with the federal VA. There were some scheduling and integrity issues at some of the VAs, and really it became a kind of a bad environment, and the lack of trust was really difficult. So I remember sitting on a couch in my office, and then Congressman Keith Ellison came in, and he was about the only one that would come around because nobody wanted to come around the VA at those days. So he said, you know, the only way that you are going to get your word out is if you do it yourself. He says, you know, social media, Facebook, all of those things, because the media is not going to tell your good stories. And we had experienced that. And, you know, to a certain extent, it's still hard to get a good news story out. But you know, Tom has given us the opportunity to get out stories to veterans, to Guard and Reserve members that otherwise would go untold. I am so pleased to have been affiliated with you through these years, and I'm very, very appreciative for everything that you've done for Minneapolis VA healthcare system, for the veterans that we serve.
My co-host for today's special show, show number 500 for Minnesota Military Radio, has been Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And, sir, we've covered a lot of territory. We flew out to Washington, D.C. and had some interviews out there, and we've talked to a lot of folks that were involved in the show. But just to look back a little bit, with your help, we were able to meet the president of the National Guard Association of the United States, Brigadier General retired Roy Robinson. In general, we were also able to meet with Lieutenant General Daniel Hokanson from the Guard Bureau.
Yeah, what was interesting about him was his connection to Western Minnesota and, you know, his story that he told about his grandfather and his father and, you know, his memories of Western Minnesota and specifically the radio station that his grandfather always listened to.
Yeah, General Governor Walz called in and saluted us for 500 shows. It was always fun to talk to one of your old soldiers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know he's been connected to this show before when he was Congressman Walz and now Governor Walz, and, you know, the platform that this show provides us to be able to talk to our veterans and to our service members and to our families as well is just a great platform to use as the governor.
General, I don't think anyone had an idea when we started the show almost 10 years ago that it was going to grow beyond one station, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Now we're up to about 58 stations. Our partners are not only the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. We have the County Veterans Service Officers on. We have the Commander's Task Force on. We're telling stories about our military and our veterans and their families, and it's been a great honor. But also in the show, we were blessed that some people that helped us build the show gave us a message. A good friend of yours, a retired Brevet Lieutenant General Rick Nash.
Yes, you know, Tom, this show's so old, I'm your third adjutant general that has been coming through here. So, you know, Larry Shelato, Rick Nash, both predecessors of mine, I know of the pride that they have of this show as well. And I know both of them worked very hard to help you expand the network of stations that carry this show. And it's a testament to their hard work that here we are, show number 500.
That's and General Shelato, of course, promised me he was going to retire after he left TAG. That lasted about 2 days. And then he became the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and he finally retired from that.
Well, he kept his word, Tom. He didn't say he was going to retire forever, right?
So he just kept going. Yeah. Seems like every general I know that's retired is still taking care of the troops and the family somewhere.
Well, you know, that's one thing I talk to our senior leadership about is when you get the privilege and the honor to serve at the highest level of our organization, you don't ever really get to retire. our expectation for you to come back and continue to serve our soldiers and airmen is a high expectation, and I'm just proud of seeing the previous senior leaders that helped mentor me to get to this position, that they continue to contribute to our community and to our military.
And, sir, we had an opportunity to hear from Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Hospital. We're just blessed to have one of the best hospitals in the country here.
We are, and his willingness to come in and talk about that facility, and I think goes a long ways to, one of the key purposes of this show, and that is communicating with our veterans and their families so they know what they're eligible for. So if they're having an issue, if they're having a problem or a challenge, they know where they can go and where they can receive some assistance. Because we owe that to them. We owe that to our veterans. We owe that to the families of our veterans. And Director Kelly plays a big role in that. So I'm very, very happy with his continued participation in this show.
And General, finally, we have to mention Jeff Tyler. He's the regional president of iHeartMedia, and without iHeartMedia all these years, the show wouldn't be here.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Tom. I mean, I know it started with just a couple people with an idea, and has grown, to what now, 58, 59 radio stations.
Yes,
out
sir.
There, 500 shows. Who would have known that 10 years ago? Tom, you've covered a lot of territory, my friend, a lot of territory.
Just needed a crazy old Irishman to
That's
take
right.
the answer.
That's right. And just think, I mean, I don't know if you've counted up on how many countries you've done this show from, but it's been several countries, too. And that list isn't about to stop. I know we got some things working for 2020 as it relates to this radio show, maybe being broadcast from a foreign land is again.
General, we're developing a couple of backups in case I need them, but I hope to keep going throughout the next 5 years of your duty as TAG, and we'll see who the next Adjutant General is after that.
No, I appreciate that, Tom. You know, those young guys that are nipping at your heels, all they're really doing is just keeping you young and keeping you engaged. So if you don't have somebody nipping at your heels, right, you get a little lackadaisical. And so
next man up, sir.
That's right. That's right.
General, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and I look forward to talking to you in the years to come.
Tom, you're a great partner for our service members and our veterans. You've been with us through thick and thin, and so we really appreciate the partnership. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you, General. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank Major General John Jensen and all of our guests for joining us this week on this show, number 500. And I would ask you to please join us next week as we go on the road to the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport and record from the new Armed Force Service Center on their grand opening day. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.